It's Morning Edition on Rhode Island Public Radio. I'm Elizabeth Harrison. Voters head to the polls in Exeter on Saturday for a recall election that could send the majority of the town council packing. The recall was sparked by a dispute over gun permits. It started after 4 out of 5 town councilors supported a move to put permits for concealed weapons in the hands of the attorney general instead of the town clerk. For more on what's at stake in this unusual election, we're joined by Rhode Island Public Radio's political analyst Scott McKay. Good morning, Scott.
Great to be here, Elizabeth.
Now, Scott, this is all about gun regulation. So what's the history of Rhode Island's attitude toward guns?
Rhode Island has some of the strongest gun regulations in the nation. We don't allow things that they always see down south, like these gun shows. We had a Senator, John Chafee, who years ago called for the abolishment and the end of manufacturing of all handguns and the end of selling handguns, and he never lost an election. However, since the Newtown shooting, we found one thing here, unlike Connecticut and New York, where they tightened the gun laws. There's been quite a backlash with the gun lobby, the National Rifle Association, associated groups. And last year, if you look at what our General Assembly did compared to other legislators around the country, what you're going to find is that we didn't do hardly anything to tighten our gun laws.
And so you believe this backlash against gun control is what is sparking this recall effort as well?
I think that's that issue, and I think also it's one of local control. This isn't limited to Rhode Island. Out in Colorado recently, there was a very celebrated recall election of state senators who voted to tighten their gun control laws out there, and the voters threw them out of office in a rural county.
And what's the landscape in Exeter? I mean, this is also a rural area.
It is a rural area. You know, Rhode Island's looked upon as a very blue state politically, very liberal state. That's true if you're north of the Appanagh-Dixon line or east of the Scituate Reservoir Divide. But the fact is that Exeter's almost like a small slice of New Hampshire right in the middle of the ocean state with less snow. If you look at the last presidential election, President Obama carried Rhode Island with 63% of the vote, but he barely won in Exeter. He only got 51%.
And Scott, the way this recall election plays out was surprising, at least to me. So can you explain how the election actually works?
Well, it's a recall to basically they're targeting 4 members of the town council on the gun issue. And what happens is it's very, very strange because what happens is the losers of the last election become the winners if the recall election is successful. In other words, if they boot these town council members out, there's not a new election to replace them. What happens is the people who lost the last election for the town council in Exeter, their 2-year terms, they become the new town councilors.
So wait a minute. Voters will see some sort of ballot with names on it?
Yes. And basically what you have here is a very single issue election. This works very well for a one issue group, for a group where they're just focused on one issue. Because, look, it's a special election in the middle of December, close to Christmas. That means a low turnout. And whenever you're a special interest group, you want a low turnout election so you can motivate your folks and get them to the polls on a day when, let's face it, a lot of people are going to be cutting down Christmas trees, they're going to be shopping, they're going to be attending holiday parties. So you're not going to have the large turnout that you get in a general election.
So you believe the timing of this election favors supporters of the recall and not the current town councilors trying to keep their seats?
That's the way a political scientist would look at it.
Now, Scott, Saturday, the day of this election, is also the anniversary of the mass shooting at Sandy Hook Elementary School. And that sparked calls for tougher gun laws around the country. Scott, what does this say about the political reality for efforts to change gun laws?
Well, there's an eerie irony to all of this. I think that what happens with gun control is, while if you poll most voters, all polls show that people want stronger gun regulations, stronger background checks, tighter laws on people with mental illness or substance abuse getting hold of weapons. However, the passion for the gun control on one side is the single issue folks, the NRA folks, the Second Amendment defenders, and their passion is stronger than a lot of the sentiment that's on the other side for more gun control. And also, they're very well financed. They have national groups that really are well organized. And in a small election, they're able to come in and work hard. And they're financed. They have the motivation to go out there and do it. And people are going door to door and such to collect the petitions that you need to get on the ballot and get this recall effort going. We saw in our General Assembly just how tough it is, even in a liberal, very democratic blue state in national elections, how tough it is to get regulations that are tighter.
Well, Scott McKay, political analyst for Rhode Island Public Radio, thanks for being here.
Thank you, Elizabeth.